So, who remembers the things we were looking at last week? Who can remember some things we were looking at last week? Huh? How not to think. All right. What else can you remember in the discussion? If you want to tell me, can you raise your hand? Anybody who wants to tell me? Can you raise your hand? All right. Yeah. That it's available, that it's safe, does not mean you should take it. Who else remembers something shared? All right. Let's give it to Umfonso.
You said it's fine if you don't know something, and it's okay if you don't have an opinion over anything that is happening.
Yeah, beautiful. I think Mr. Glintz will say something.
I wrote that we should police our heart.
Yeah.
Police our heart, and I also wrote that creation is taking formation as we think and speak.
Yeah, creation is taking form as we speak and think. All right, who else wants to say to me something? All right, the man of God there.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
One thing I got from last week was immediately you step into worry, you will not hear from God. You give the devil control over your heart.
Yeah. Who else wants to say something? All right, Tinapa.
You said...
You just bought this shoe.
My wife bought it for me.
When did she buy it?
I think it was last month or 2 months
ago. Wow. So fine. All right.
You said demonic activity is evident through riotous thoughts.
Demonic activity is evidenced through riotous thoughts. All right, Jeremiah.
You said that what is happening cannot tell us what is happening. It's God that will tell us what is happening.
Yeah. You just have to rhyme it so that we can know you are the most brilliant person here. All right.
You also spoke about how, the ease at which I say things that I do not hear from God is a proof that I'm distant from God.
Yeah. The ease of speaking and having an opinion when you didn't hear from God, and the confidence.
You also said that I should not just receive a thought because it's available. The way I reject food, the way I reject hairstyle, I should be able to reject thoughts when they come.
Yeah, beautiful. Who else wants to tell me something? All right, Ariye. Give Ariye.
He said we are gods, and whatever comes out from our mouth is powerful.
Yeah, I did say that. Give my beautiful sister.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You said how when we think.
What's your full name?
Idigbe Peace Irabogene.
We thank God for that. Powerful. She said it like, okay, you asked, Abby. Have it. All right, let's go.
You said how when we think wrong, we would speak wrong.
Yeah, true. Well, so I can take three more. All right, the man and the woman behind him.
Thank you, sir. So you used the story of David to explain how we should not allow whatever it is we are going through, whatever environment we are in, to affect us, and also, you know, determine how we react to them. Not right. Will, but instead strengthen ourselves in God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Beautiful.
Okay, you mentioned that the moment we take the God posture, our options of thought will be streamlined.
Yeah. Beautiful. He wants to say something. Yeah. Tell us your name first.
My name is Major Oshilaja.
Major. Huh?
Yes.
Awesome. That's powerful. All right.
You said that some people are so worried of being in silence that whatever thoughts hit them, they just go with it, flow with it.
Yeah. Yeah. The mind is afraid of silence. You see, it's a weak mind. It's afraid of silence. Sometimes you can allow your mind rest. For now, you are not thinking. You can pick a thought later. You can pick a matter later. Because sometimes you are in a disadvantaged place to mentally process it. So you tell yourself when you want to process it. For example, when my faith is not up, I don't think about something because I'm disadvantaged to think at that point. So I wait for when faith in my faith season and I say, all right, that matter. Oh yeah. Let's think it now. Huh? I think there was one last person who raised. Was anybody else? All right. Who? Who's that? All right, the camera guy was blocking her.
Okay, you talked about us respecting our vessel and not allowing just anything flow.
Yeah. Beautiful. I think it was a powerful service. It was a powerful service. Very powerful service. Let me tell somebody something about faith, just in some seconds. You see, when we begin to talk about faith, and you begin to try to live the life of faith, and you begin to apply faith in your life and all of that. Because you are having faith, you see, doesn't mean that you are going to eat this night. Huh? It doesn't mean that there will be food this night. You might sleep hungry. And that's what confuses a lot of people. When they're trying to live the life of faith, but it's not working for this nice food. Is this faith thing really, really working? And so they use what happened this night to invalidate what will happen tomorrow. So if anybody told you that because you have faith, it means that you will eat this night, or you will pay that school fees this night or something, the person is deceiving you. Faith is bigger than your immediate need. It's the equipment for your full life. It's not for the immediate. So sometimes when you're walking the life, so what do I do? Ask him, what do I do? When you see the big picture and you're releasing faith for the big picture, and then it looks like you don't have a solution for the immediate matters, use your brain, to solve the immediate matters while you remain in faith for your future. So if there's no night food, call somebody that you want to eat night food. And when the person gives you night food, you keep confessing faith for the future.
Sir. Thank you, sir.
It's as simple as that. So don't stress yourself. Because the match we want to win, It's just like crying because you are not winning preseason. You know, Arsenal used to beat people 15-0 preseason. So it's not about preseason, okay? So see whatever is your current situation as what? As preseason. When it's preseason, you don't have to overstress yourself. In fact, see your current situations as distraction for that ultimate faith life you want to live. Yeah. You get the point now. So don't, as I'm saying, like, you might want to have, maybe you believe God has told you that, you know, it would route kingdom wealth through you. You see, that word you are believing God for does not mean you will have transport fare to go home today. So you don't have to force that word to give you transport fare today. So for transport fare today, you can ask your friend and say, as I am right now, even though I'm the next kingdom financier, but right now, can you finance me to just so that I can have, I can be alive to. Yeah. You know, a lot of us give up when, and that's the reason for community. Community should keep us standing till prophecy is fulfilled. That's the reason for community. That's the reason for community. That's the reason for family. You know, eventually all of us are going to leave our parents' house. But because you are going to be a doctor in the future, does not mean you should leave home right now. You still stay at home, let them take care of you. The doctor will still be giving paracetamol. He will take paracetamol. His mother will give him paracetamol. They will deworm him. He will still be a doctor. But he needs to be alive before he can be a doctor. So that's the reason for church. While we are worrying for prophecy to come to pass, we must take care of one another so that we don't invalidate the word of the Lord over our lives. You see? Because if you don't eat this night, it does not move God. His promises are what? Yeah, and amen. So you either fulfill it eating night food or fulfill it without eating night food. What's concerned about it is that you are going to fulfill it. So you will now tell yourself, I think I prefer to fulfill it. You know, I tell you simple things that change your life. You know that? Yeah, I tell you. Yeah. A lot of hardship we go through is our fault. It's not part of the plan. It's your choice. Another thing you should never accommodate is theology that doesn't look like your destiny. There is nothing that destroys faith more than bad theology. If there is space of wrong believing, no matter how little the space is, you will not fulfill destiny. Don't give space for wrong theology. Theology is very powerful. Do you understand? For example, if there is space in your brain that God can use sickness, for example, to test your love for Him. If there is that space in your soul, that same space is the space of cancer. That space is what? Is the space of cancer. Or is there space for, we don't have to be wealthy, we don't have to be, you know, those kind of, you know, theology. The challenge tonight is I don't know where to hit you from. That's my challenge tonight. I have three challenges, or four to five, but let's say three challenges. The first challenge is, I want to continue the teaching of last week Wednesday, because I didn't, the real scripture I wanted to use, which is Proverbs 19, I didn't open it at all. So I can come from that angle, start from that angle. And I have another angle I want to start from in Matthew chapter 25, I'll be 21 or 25. I come from that angle. That second angle is long. When I pick it from that angle, I want to run it and go back to that proverb, but I'm not sure if I can make it. So the third challenge is that I have a sorrowful feeling. I feel sorrowful. You know, godly sorrow. I have that sorrow feel. So it's to connect that feeling to my preaching anointing and transfer, so that it won't be only me that is sorrowful today, so that I can just like impart the whole house with a sorrowful feeling. So I don't know which one to pick, but I don't know, my wicked nature is picking that. I feel like sharing the sorrow so that everybody can go home remorse and just say, Jesus, you just be singing, I'm on a table. You just be singing that song. I ain't down. Or we can combine the three. That one, there will not be time for that. The Lord will help us. Amen. Let's still hold on to Proverbs chapter 19. Maybe we get there. But let's check Matthew chapter 21. I think I'll mix the first and the second, the first and the third direction together. Matthew. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Don't forget what I said about August. We are going to be praying all through August, because we have a lot to pray about. We need to birth some things in the spirit, because we are transitioning as a church. A new church is, you know, Pastor Zach, this transition keeps happening almost every three months. What's all this? Yeah, because it's a Holy Ghost church. You see, it's alive. Huh? It's alive. So that's why it happens that way. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You see. So, one of the things that God has for us is to participate in his joy. Huh? God has his joy for us. So it means that according to the scripture, the Lord's joy is not necessarily something that that we know about until it brings us into it. Huh? And maybe we don't even know how it feels. Praise God. Because we see this here as a type, it's a kind of reward for that particular servant. It says, enter into the joy of thy Lord. It's a reality that is God's own. And according to the scripture, there's a way we will be and act that the reward of it is that God will say, okay, come into my joy. So I shouldn't assume that the joy of my heart is necessarily the joy of the Lord. Are you together with me? Whenever my dog is playing with me, sometimes I'm beating it. It's playing, but I'm not in the mood for that kind of play. And I don't know why it is playing, you know. It's almost always playing. Anytime my dog sees me, it's unaware of whether I'm wearing white. You see, it just jumps and puts his paws on my cloth, and sometimes I have to go back to change. So sometimes when the dog is coming, I'm already setting my leg to, you see, because I don't want to play at that time. But the dog is always playing. Only the dog knows, you see, the joy of my dog, you see. And until another dog comes and both of them are playing, both of them understand that feeling. You see how the way, have you seen lions play? You know, you don't, you wouldn't want a lion to play with you that way. The lion plays with his teeth, but will not mistakenly kill when it's playing. And sometimes it looks like it will kill, you know. But it won't happen, you see, because there is the joy of the lion. So you see, the Lord has his own joy. Yeah? And then one of the reward for us as children of God is that he will bring us into his joy and share his joy with us. Now this is spiritual knowledge. That your mind, it might not excite your mind, but if the Lord, if you experience renewal of mind or you have some kind of ability to capture it, you'll find out that is an amazing thing. So his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. All right. Now, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. You know, we have looked at this. The word talent here is old. It's not talent as per skill, or gift. This is not singing talent. It's actually talking about money. Eh? Can you give me another translation? Maybe the new KJV that didn't use talent. Because somebody might be thinking, how many talent did God give me like this? You know, and then maybe there's somebody who is not yet sure of his talent. Or you know your talent, but you know your talent is not useful. You don't really see it as what God can reward somebody for. Imagine if your talent is sleeping, for example. You know. You wouldn't expect a reward for that. So the man with 2 bags of gold. Let's just use the new KJV. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. The reason why I didn't use talent is because when you talk about the kingdom and all of that, there is no much emphasis on using your talents and all those kind of things. We use it, but the context with which we use it is serving the Lord as a being. Then, of course, part of who you are is talent. But talent is not separated from who you are with which you will use to serve God. Do you understand that? That's how we create superstars in church, because when somebody has a super talent, you know, then the person thinks he's deserving of some kind of things because he thinks. So it's not first about talent, it's first about your whole life, you see. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You see that they all entered into the joy of the Lord, the ones who God was rewarding positively, the ones who made something good with what God gave them. You see, and it was God that gave them, you see, the resources that he gave them. And he gave one 5 and he gave another 2. And what he rewarded them for is that when God analyzed how they, you know, behaved with what he gave them, he called them good and faithful. All right, let's see. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, you see, I knew you to be a hard man. I know who you are. You are what? You are a hard man, 1. And also, you like reaping where you have not sown, you see. And gathering where you have not scattered seed. That's something about theology. Whenever your theology is wrong, you are going to mess up your life. The origin of this guy's madness was that he knows the Lord. And what he knew of the Lord is inaccurate. And so far his theology was wrong, his actions became crazy and stupid. Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. You see? No, go, stay here. You are a hard man, God. And you reap where you did not sow. And that's something about when Jesus appears to you. You cannot hide what you think of him. You see? You will be naked before him. That's why on judgment day, you can't tell a lie. Yeah. You will just be vomiting. Yeah. No. I said, stay. Just put that scripture that I said that was there. Now, when you look at this man, before the Lord came back, when you look at this man in verse 25, and you look at his posture, and you see somebody who is keeping something inside the ground, and you see him shaking doing it, you are going to see him as righteous. Because what you see here is that I was afraid. I don't know if you get the point. Now, because I'm afraid of you, I hid what you gave me into the ground so that I don't want to misplace it because you are a hard man. So you can see this level of piety. You see, it looks pious in the external, you see, but it is from terrible theology. And this is not godly. Sometimes the ungodly doesn't want to prosper. Sometimes the ungodly doesn't want to prosper. And the reason is that they say they love the Lord. They don't want anything else. You'll get what I'm saying very soon. This guy is afraid and he hid it. That thing was meant to increase in his hand. But out of piety, he just hid it in the ground. And some people are like that. They like to act that they love God and they don't care about anything in this life. I say, God is just your face. I don't want any other thing. But the guy is not God's face that he wants. He's afraid to preach. He's afraid for evangelism. You see, and because he's afraid of evangelism, He will just say that, he will say something else. People hide their terrible theology. They hide it by looking pious. And sometimes we have an assumption that people who don't want much are holy. And sometimes the reason you don't want much, do you know, some people look humble, but they have decided to maintain humility because what they actually lack is self-worth. And they have refused to heal themselves of self-worth and they have decided to enter a false humility frame. Do you understand? You see, the only reason why is humility is somebody slap you, you don't slap your own back. It's because you have ability to slap. If you don't have ability to slap your own back, turning your cheek is not humility. If they slap you and you are afraid, you think you deserve slap, and you just say, "Kuku kwami," it's not a sign of humility. God is first going to train you to deliver you from that timidity. You will first learn how to slap your own back. After you have slapped your own back like 566 times, then he will now say you don't have to slap your own back. We hide a lot of things under being pious. You remember the one Jesus spoke about? I can't remember that scripture. Of people who will not take care of their parents, and they'll say they have taken all their seed to the Lord. Two people we dump our irresponsibility on is Satan and God. I don't know if you are listening to me. So you need to ask yourself why you are not passionate. Is it because you are seeking the heavenly Jerusalem, or you have concluded that you cannot win? So since you cannot win, you just give up and say, we are going to heavenly Jerusalem. Ason lori ason. You understand? And that's why I don't like taking advice from people who tell me not to pursue what they don't have. Yeah, I prefer when you have it and you say this thing is nothing. That's why the revelation of Solomon is powerful.
Yeah.
You see, when somebody who has the vanity tells you vanity is vanity, you believe it. But sometimes when somebody who has not tasted the vanity is saying there's nothing there, say, how do you know there's nothing there? I don't know if you're listening to me, friends. I don't want you to hide. You see, God has the ability to heal you, to change you, and to turn your life around. I don't want you to hide under any strange piety. All you are doing is that you are just hiding the darkness inside you. You see, this guy was afraid. I hid your talent in the ground. Look, dear, you have what is yours. Now let's look at Jesus' analysis of this beautiful man. But his Lord answered and said to him, the word "but" is to let him know that I have a different opinion. You see, you can deceive everybody, but you are not deceiving me because I see through.
Yeah.
And based on what I see, you are wicked and you are lazy.
Wow.
So two things this man was battling in his life is wickedness and laziness. And you can see that in all his own delivery, everything he said about himself, the thing he spoke about is about who God is, how terrible God is. The second thing he spoke about is how holy he is. And the third thing he spoke about is how very decorum he kept it. Said, I don't do more than myself. He spoke of God bad. He spoke of himself very, very good. And all of that. But when God was going to give his own verdict, God said, you are a wicked person. And another thing about you is that you have serious laziness. So one of the reasons why that guy did nothing with that one is laziness. The guy just wants to sleep. And he never told us. It means that if Jesus did not reveal this guy's heart, we won't know this guy likes sleep. This guy wants to sleep. He wants to play game. He wants to lick ice cream. He's a lazy person. He doesn't like work. And see the huge theology and the huge holiness this guy built around laziness. When you read what this guy said, you will not believe he's lazy. That's why Jesus Christ said, by their fruit we shall know them. That's one of the ways we need to operate discernment. Because sometimes people hide who they are by the depth of their revelation. I tell you the truth. So you need to check people's, what they are doing. The fruits of their lives. Not just what they are saying. Yeah. Are we together here?
Yes,
can you tell me one major reason why churches don't grow? Who wants to tell me one reason why churches don't grow? I mean grow in the godly way. I'm asking, it's Bible study. Just tell me what you think. You don't have to give me the answer. Don't try and look at my heart and find the answer I'm looking for.
Personal ambition.
Personal ambition. All right, how doesn't that make church grow? Because it looks like something that will make a church grow.
So there is how God wants, how God is directing that particular assembly.
Yeah.
And then there's how you think it should be.
So by growth, I just mean more members. That's what I'm talking about, membership.
And so, in this house, we move by prayers and then by leading. There's another house that will assume, okay, If I put billboards here, if I rack up Facebook ads, you should be able to pump in people. Definitely, you will bring in the numbers, but you won't bring in the people that will stay.
Your answer is deeper than my question. Let's give somebody the... Your answer is very deep. I need Bible study. Your answer needs SOD.
Some places have members that are judgmental on people. They like to, like, when they see people outside, they judge them. So because of that assumption, they feel like they are not like them.
All right.
With that reason, people do not tend to call me.
Awesome. We need a retreat for that. No. Relax, wait. Let me give her.
So I feel it's discrimination.
Yeah.
Like, for me as a person, somebody would be like, you are going to this church and you are still attending here. You are attending here.
Yeah.
Why? Can't you just stick at a place? Remember that we are serving just one God.
Yeah.
So wherever we find ourselves, we just flow with it.
Yeah. Awesome. That one is a new revelation. Miss Allah. The friend I gave you, did your friend call you? She called you, Abby. Wow, awesome.
Okay, I think one of the things is the kind of people that attend the church. And even I see their life, and I'm like, oh, I don't think I want to attend this kind of church. When I see the life of a person that attends the church,
all right.
I can judge from that.
Beautiful. Let's get tired. You guys are very deep.
When the church is boring, it won't grow. When the pastor
is boring,
church will not grow.
Yeah, one of the reasons why churches don't grow. When the pastor is boring, you don't want to go back. It's true. Let's have him. Why?
Individuality.
Okay.
You just feel like since one is in prayer unit, one is in choir, they just draw a red line. You stay here, us will stay here.
All right.
Have your own part.
All right. I thought you raised your hand. You changed your mind. Or his answer just...
No. I think we don't have more people in church because we don't invite more people.
We don't invite more people. It's simple. You don't invite people to church. You don't invite people to church. If we want to have time, so what we have today, next week, we will have it. If I said that if you bring 3 people, you'll get 50,000 naira. Can you see? So, now, do you know that, so a church can be lazy in evangelism? And I'm talking about God is going to bring down the house of Saul and is raising the house of David. A season is coming. A new people will arise. They're not going to arise. So God is a wind of the Spirit is blowing. The wind is not going to blow. That laziness in that high speaking. And you will not know that the problem is that the people don't know how to get somebody to church. And that's why you see people who don't have all that language, but their churches keep growing. Do you understand? I went somewhere today, and a woman saw me. I went to see one of my mentors, and I was speaking to my mentor. They are partners with, the woman is a partner to my mentor, so she came in, and then saw my mentor. Greeted me just casually. And my mentor said, no, that's Pizak. Pizak! The person that all his members are excited to go for service, Pizak! Yeah, that's what he said. He said, the Pizak that all his members are excited to go for service. I said, yes, the one. My mentor said, only got a phone. He said, and then she really greeted me like, your people love going for, somebody told me, he said, I went to purchase a car, and the person who I bought the car from you know, the dealer brought the car to me. And after we finished transaction, he said, it's like I knew you. I said, where, sir? And the guy began to tell me all my preaching. He said, because there's somebody on my WhatsApp status that delivers your message. And when I see delay in it, I used to chat the person. I say, it's been a while. Yeah. So you can be lazy and you convert your laziness to be, you become prophetic. So we don't judge people by how they are prophesying. We judge them by their actions. So you can see how deep this guy is. Very deep. He says, you are a hard person. This God, it was deep. And you can see how pious he is. And he made sure he did not steal God's money. He did not use it to buy anything. He kept it for God. I said, this is it. Whereas the other guys were excited about what God gave them. Are you with me? They had an excitement about it. Eh? And they were spinning the thing. And 5 was turning to 6. From 6 to 7. It's excitement. Eh? They had the right heart. They were just excited about the thing. And they were spinning the thing. Spinning it and spinning it. 6 turned to 7. They kept spinning it. 6.5. They just kept spinning it and spinning it. And then before you knew it, they had doubled everything, 100% gain. Wow. They were excited about it. They were committed to it. See, wicked and lazy. The other one was what? Good and what? Faithful. This one is wicked and lazy. Now, let's check what the good and faithful said to the master. No, what he said to the master. He said, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more. No story, no revelation.
Yes.
Action. You gave me 2. I've delivered 2. You gave me 5, Lord. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I delivered what? 5. Very easy to understand.
Yes.
What's the first thing? Everybody knows you are Lord. So we retain that idea. We will not look for the Greek or Hebrew of Lord. And we will not try and act like we have a new revelation. Because the guy said, the other one said, I knew you to be hard. A new revelation of who God is. All to hide laziness. That God is doing a new thing. It's not about crowd. You know, there's something God is doing. There is a only remnant. Plus the crowd remnant, but we are not seeing anything. Wow. Let us see something. Yeah. Let us see something. Lord, you delivered straight to the point. Do you know when your carpenter starts to tell you story, you know something has happened? You sent what you should do, you sent it to him. Or your tailor starts tell you something. You know when they start telling you something? You know something bad is. I say, Oga. You know something. So, MDF got MDM solo Javai. Something is about to go wrong. Or you just see someone say, Chem Lele. Okay, I think it's a... In fact, when people begin to explain, even as a preacher, when people begin to explain to you, know that it's not a good outing. We have been on this building project for, we just thank God. God needs to help people to be giving, Pastor, well, Esha Washa. When you hear, when people are speaking too much, they are doing nothing. And they are hiding it. You see, religious people have spiritual language. Religious people and lazy people have what? Spiritual language. God is always doing something new that we cannot see the fruit. We are seeing nothing. Have you seen people who are building billion-dollar businesses? Anytime you see them, say, we're doing this. There's this man who, anytime I meet him, he wants to light up the world. He wants to do one. I like the people who are doing things. They are very straightforward. Yeah. Yeah. What's the answer? Lord. Lagos, man. You people in Osun, you people are trying. Maybe you people can, but if you know what it costs to get all in Lagos, you will know that there's a problem. That's why he's talking. Friends, stop talking. Get it done. Yeah. Get what?
Get it done.
It's a complex. So tell yourself. It's a complex. So tell yourself, I get things done. A lot of you, I've said it before, you have this strange assumption that there is reward for good excuse. We have this strange that if you can present a good excuse that is the same as getting something done. Okay, I would have come earlier if you see the traffic. You have an assumption because that's why you didn't come. But there's no reward for not coming. The peace with which we feel, that like the confidence that I have excuse. The confidence with which we give excuses, we feel excuse is a supernatural ability. No, it is that there was traffic, but I was able to connect my guy that has a delivery bike. I now entered in between him and the box. Yeah. I hid myself inside. That's how I got here.
Yeah.
Now those are the ones who get the reward.
Yes.
Those are the ones who get the reward. You get it what?
Done.
So that other one said, you are a hard man. You sow where you no reap. You scatter things. You just do anyhow. And because I was afraid, I decided to hide your time. Look, there you have what is yours. Look, there you have it. That's your one talent. Go and dig it and take it. So if this house is going to grow, for example, what are we going to do? You get the job done. Huh? Yes, how? You get it done. Bring people. You call them over and over again. You tell them you'll come and get them. You look for a cab, you pay for their distance, you bring them. And then you begin to pray that they encounter the Lord during the service. Yes. And that's how the church will grow.
Yes, sir.
That's the only way.
Yes, sir.
It will not grow through a prophetic season. The ones that grow through prophetic season are very few. I can't put my life on that one. Huh? Yeah. Which one is more sure that when you get home, you cook food, or that you sit down and trust that somebody will bring food? Which of those two food is? Oh, if you go to bar, say, oh, yeah, yeah. I tell you. Just get it done. Tell somebody, get it done. Get it done. Yeah, get it done. The matters of the kingdom requires haste. You get it done. You just get it done. And guess what? If you are given 2 talents, you are not expected to get 5 done. You are expected to get done at the level that you are being. So you are not competing with anybody. You are competing with your ability. If I can produce at 5, I should not produce at 2. Let's see what he said to him. But the Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers." You see? And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So you can see here that this Lord is a very strange Lord. He's never going to accept the same thing he gave you. Not that loss. It's not even talking about loss. It does not like capital. You don't return capital. Eh? You know, that's how you know people who want to scam you. They say, this investment, you collect 30%. But what's come to us will return your capital. But I tell you, you will not see. That's not even good here. You will not see capital. This particular Lord does not collect capital. There must be interest. I hope you are hearing me. There must be what? There must be interest. So it means that there is something God has committed to your life. And you are thinking about your life. You are not getting my point. You are there sitting, thinking about your life. Where God is looking at you, thinking about the interest. You know what I'm saying? You are thinking, what will I do well in life? He's thinking about, hey, what I gave you this girl, I will not agree if I don't collect interest. So you are thinking that maybe your life is not going well. God is not even helping you. He's not even thinking about your life. He's thinking about his business. That I committed to your hands. Wow. Then you will now find out that he has relationship with bankers. Yes. He says, you have taken my money to bankers, and all bankers, all they know to do is invest. You get the point now? And so he's saying that if you are not a banker, you don't have the heart of a banker, then give it to those who have what? The heart of bankers, because me, I must have interest. You see, am I making sense here?
Yes, sir.
So it means that God wants interest, in your life. Your life must produce more, Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, do you think I'm just talking Bible study? I'm talking the mind of God to you.
Yes.
It's not Bible study. I'm not trying. I'm telling you as I'm speaking to you right now. I'm telling you that God wants return on investment.
Yes.
Over your life. He's not joking with you. So you are better brace up from this life of you thinking you have one problem. You see, this weak life of I have problem, God is not part of it all. I am telling you. If you are in this place, you are thinking, oh Lord, life has hit me bad. I tell you, God is not in that thing. God is unaware of all that nonsense. You are better jack up and get to business.
Yes, sir.
That's why you never hear him speak to you in your worry.
Yes.
You always hear him speak to you in your worship. Yes, oh. You rarely hear God when you are worrying. It's when you are in worship that you hear God. I mean, you didn't feel like praying, you didn't feel like doing anything, but you just summoned courage, you entered Bible study, and you find out that it's actually light, like no problem. Yes. Everywhere just bright. I tell you the truth. That is what it is. So you had better jack yourself up. Your problem is not as serious as you think. I'm telling you. It's not as serious as you think. The man you are telling that you have a problem is telling you, I'm about to have problem with you. Because what I've given you, you are not investing it. Yeah. Are we preaching here?
Yes, sir.
You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. At my coming, I will have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him. You see? Give it to him who has 10 talents. You see? So that one that has 10. You know, he started from 5.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
From 5 now, he has multiplied it to 10, right? From 10, now they gave him 1. You see, he must do business with that 1 plus that 10. He will continue doing business.
Yeah.
Eh. We'll continue doing business. So when the master comes back, he's expecting 22.
Yeah.
Now, this is the secret of prosperity. What do you do with what God gives you is your secret to prosperity. That's your secret to prosperity. And prosperity, the way it happens, if you prosper like this, the next time you are going to prosper is not the same gap. I tell you, if you move from 5 to 10, you are moving from 10 to 50. Maybe most often. Maybe most often. And that's how it is. But you have to be faithful. It says, good and faithful. A good person. To be good means that your heart is single. Yeah. It's a focused heart. That's the word good there. It's a focused heart. The heart is not corrupt. When you say something is good, what does that mean? It has not spoilt. What does it mean if something has spoilt? An external influence, an external, is it bacteria or something, has worked on it. That's what makes it wicked. So good means to remain the way it was made.
Wow.
So it's a good heart. It's a focused heart. You see? So the enemy will want to corrupt the heart, put something else inside the heart, and mess the heart up. When the heart is messed up, you will learn new habits. One of those habits is laziness. Yes. That's why people have moved from evangelism to gossip. Yes. 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 From evangelism to gossip. From evangelism to criticism. 99% of all the times I criticized a minister of God, 99% is because I'm jealous. Yes. Yes. By the time you see one young minister build one cathedral, you just get a scripture and say it's not about buildings. We are the building. God is not building things. We are the one God is building. You find that you have always wanted a building all your life. But you are not focused. You are not making the best of your canopy. Yeah. If you use your canopy well, you'll get a building.
Yeah.
Multiplies. I don't know if I'm preaching to you here.
Yes, sir.
It says you are good and you are faithful. To be good is to be focused. To be faithful is to make the best of all that God has given you. It's to embrace what God has given you as if that's all that exists. Yeah. That's what it means to be faithful. That's what it means to be faithful. A lot of people are not faithful. You know why? Because they feel like there is something they need that they don't yet have. Faithfulness tells you that I have all that I need. And I treat what I have with utmost respect. Yeah, that's what it means to be faithful. You are committed to it. Let me use ministry for example. My spiritual father is Pastor Kunolawale. To be unfaithful is to wish is Bishop Oyedepo. Yes. I don't know if I can. It should say, if I can get this person to get me this person, and then this person can take me to Bishop, and I can just take a picture with Bishop. You see, that is to be unfaithful. You see, because that's not what God gave me. I don't know if I'm preaching here. This is who God gave me. If I'm faithful with that, who God gave me, I will become all that God will have me to become. You see, you don't need what God didn't give you to become what God wants you to become. You don't need it. There is nothing you need to fulfill destiny that God has not given you. So if God hasn't given you, why hasn't He given you? That's why greatness has come from every corner of this world.
Yes.
It's not domiciled anywhere.
Yes.
You don't have to leave Elisha to go to Lagos to be great. You don't have to leave Lagos to go to Ibadan to be great. Anywhere God puts you, light can shine from there. Light can shine from there. One of the greatest movements going on right now started from Makurdi. It's in Benue. It's Makurdi. Apostle is in Makurdi, Benue. Everybody is going there on excursion. They have to get a plane to start working there now. He's the major reason why planes are traveling to that place now. Yeah. It's not Lekki. It's Benue. Yeah. Makurdi. It's not Lekki. And you'll be shocked. Some of the offerings entering Makurdi is not in the Co-Atlantic. Yeah. But the challenge is that you are not faithful. You see, because you are looking at what God didn't give you. Anytime you think you are missing something, you will truly miss something. Yeah. Faithfulness. Eh? It's a heart. 100% walk in line with what God has what giving you. Yeah, that's what it means to be faithful. The two eyes video the guys shot, they shot it from what they have.
Yeah.
They shot, the guys came together and shot a fantastic video. I said, if we can get, who are people shooting now? What are the names of people? No, Chris Peter is also, TG. We can get. That was the period he got born again. Israel like that. The period people got born again, they still think life is still there.
Wow.
You look at TG Omori. We don't have TG Omori now. We now wait for TG Omori.
No.
What if we do what we do and become the new TG Omori? Yeah. Anybody's name can be great. There are not letters that they have chosen where great names are coming from. If it's you God choose, suddenly everybody want to be Indy Freaky. Indy Freaky. I say Indy Freaky. What's your child's name? My child's name is Indy. Indy. It's not like they went to choose some names that you have to. No. You see, when God chooses you, your name would now be fine. It was not fine before. Like everybody said the name was not fine before. You understand? But soon the name is just nice in the years. Yeah. And it is what? Faithfulness. I tell you the truth. You cannot steal the reward of a faithful people. You can never. Can I tell you another one? You can never keep faithful people small. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. It's not. You can't keep a faithful person small. A faithful person is going to break through. Yeah. 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 Faithfulness assures expansion. Faithfulness assures expansion. No matter what you are doing now, do it as though it is everything you will do in life. That is the approach to everything you do. That's the approach. You are not missing anything. The Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over what? A few things, you see. Huh? I will what? Make you ruler over what? Many things." So we don't test whether you can do many things by giving you many things. We always test many things by what? Few things. So you see, if you say, God gave me fuel, and you see it as a reason to complain, you are already disqualified. And he gave everybody fuel. Even David, the Bible spoke about how David, it was from taking care of few sheep. Few is a very important reality in the vocabulary of God. Whenever you see few, God is there.
Yeah.
You see. And God is already choosing who he will give many to.
Yes.
By how they treat, how they handle what? Few things. You see. Few things. It says, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things. You've been faithful. You treat few things as though it's a lot. Huh? That's how to treat everything God gives you. All the resources God gives you. You see, all the resources. You treat it as though that's all. And anything, both human resource, both any type of resource, relationships. You get the point now. You treat it as though it is everything. You have to be faithful. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. All right. Next verse, please. Let's move to where I was. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So you see, we who are faithful are praying to God to just bring us around unfaithful people. Just God, please send me, put me around unfaithful people. Because the unfaithful person is going to lose his talent. You see, and when he loses his talent, it must mean that he lost his throne. Because the reward for the talent is rulership. And you can't be a ruler without a throne. Yeah. So I just want God to bless me, but I'm sure I'm going to be faithful. But God, so when you want to increase, you'll say, God, where are the unfaithful people? Can you put me in their midst? You see, so that I can collect their thrones and collect their talents. You see? So that I can do their jobs. So you see, you have to be very watchful when you find out that they stop giving you job. You see, service. They tell somebody to do something. You need to approach and say, please now. This is my throne we're talking about. Do you understand? You need to inquire that, am I not faithful? Why are you telling this person to do the job? I'm available. You see, if you think because they're not giving you the job that you are smart, you see, you might be outsmarting destiny. I tell you the truth. You must be the one that people will love to call to get things done. It must be that person. When you are alone and nobody is calling you to do anything, don't be happy. I tell you the truth, friends, don't be happy. Nobody is calling you. People are respecting you. Don't be happy. Don't say, wow, where can I sleep? And the other people around you are busy. No, don't be. It's not a good thing. No, it's not a good thing. No matter what you think you have been, you are, you could have been 100 of it. I tell you the truth, friends. I tell you. I'm telling you why. I don't want you to go and pray on prayer mountains for 40 days and saying, Lord, you have forgotten me. This is why people end up on those mountains and say, Lord, you have forgotten me. So take it from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, what will happen? More will be given. And he will have abundance. What does this start from? It starts from I have. From I have, more. From more, what? Abundance. Can you see? Can you see the gap in breakthrough?
Yes.
From I have. Not, I don't have anything. The Lord has forsaken me. Walk with God doesn't start from
yes.
there. It starts with what? I have.
Yes.
I have something to give.
Yes.
I said I have something to give. I always have something to give. Anywhere God places me, I have something to give. And I'm going to give it faithfully. Oh my goodness. Let me say this to you. You see, faithfulness is the curriculum, a major curriculum in the school called servanthood. Servanthood. Meaning that you can't be faithful until you see yourself as a servant. Yeah. And God chooses his rulers from his servants. Yeah. It's the school. You see, faithfulness. It's not, you can't get faithfulness from the school of expertise. When you are more aware of your expertise, you won't be faithful. When you're aware of expertise, you will think you are being kind. You will think you are being generous. But you see, when you are aware of your servanthood, you will not see yourself as being kind, as being generous. You see yourself as doing, as being privileged to serve and to do what God has called you to do. It's a privilege. Now, this is, I'm teaching you, you cannot live like this for 5 years and your life remain the same. The possibility does not exist. What I'm teaching you to do. You don't learn faithfulness by focusing on your expertise. That was what destroyed Satan. When he looked at himself and thought, I'm amazing. I am beautiful. He looked at expertise. He didn't look at himself from servanthood. That's why when you look at the writings of Paul, he always introduced himself as a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are just a servant. Huh? Yes, sir. See, for everyone who has, do you have?
Yes, sir.
Do you have?
Yes, sir.
You have. Have something. I have something to give. I have something to give to my family. I have a family to serve. I have something to give to my church. Yeah, I have. And I'm going to give it faithfully every day till Jesus returns. You know, he says, if I come back to the earth, will I find faith upon the face of the earth? The faith there is faithfulness. It's not just faith to receive. Will I find faith? I have till Jesus returns. I have something to give. Everywhere I go as a servant. And that's how I enter rulership. He says, when he has. You know what that does to you? It means that none of us must live from a standpoint of lack, of pity.
Yes.
No, I'm not a candidate of pity. Why are you pitying me? I'm busy giving.
Yes.
Do you pity somebody giving?
No.
I'm a giver.
Yes.
I'm a giver in life.
Yes.
Are there givers in this house?
Yes.
Oh, I give every day. That's how I serve. I just give. I might not have 5 talents to give, but I have 2 to give from. Some of us have just 1 to give from. But if anyone says he does not give, he does not have to give, he must have said that God created an empty thing.
Yes.
It's an indictment on the creative power of God.
Yes.
Have something to give. For everyone who has, more will be given. He will have abundance. But from him who does not have. That's Jesus' analysis of that guy. He didn't count 1 as something. He says he that does, because this is it. Even what he has will be taken. He just took it from that guy. Jesus is saying, I took it from him because truly he thinks he does not have. That's why he's lazy. He thinks there is nothing to be done. That's why you are lazy. You think there is nothing to be done. Is it ordinary toilet? Is it somebody else will clean it? You don't see it as important as how I see my preaching. There's somebody else, it's just toilet. It's just car park. He says it will collect it from him. And that was his route to the throne. But we'll collect it from him. I've been in the ministry for a little time. Since I got saved, I've been fully involved in ministry since my day one. And I tell you, this always play out every time and every time. When people see themselves from their expertise, they are never given thrones by Jesus. No, he doesn't. He gives thrones to servants. I see it. I painfully see it every time. And they are usually deep. The deep talkers, but not doers. You see, I just want the master find me doing the work. I don't want him find me analyzing. I just want to do the work. Huh? I want to be found doing the work. There's a lot to analyze, but that's not what I choose. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. So you see that this thing we're talking about is connected to hell. You can through here go to hell. It means that one of the ways to backslide is not to be faithful. Now these are the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. After a while, you will backslide. You can become a shadow of yourself. Because it means that without faithfulness, we can't practice kingdom. Yeah. Kingdom is lived in faithfulness. Yeah. Before you know it, you're on YouTube, you're on Facebook, writing about the problems of the church, the problems of things. Yeah. You'll get there. Without faithfulness, you'll get there. Because Satan will enter your soul. Yeah. You have a problem with the church. Why I don't like the church. You know, the church must learn to do better. Yeah, some of you are here, you talk like that. And that's why you feel hot sometimes. You just feel hot, even when you're AC. It's the fires of hell. Yeah. I tell you. So the church must learn to do better. You know, you just talk, you talk like an expert. Yeah, you talk like an expert. You have never seen an angel in your life, but you talk like you were part of those who assisted God to create heaven. You know, the church needs to know better. The church is not about this. The church is not about that, you know. I don't go to church anymore. You know, I'm done with that. I don't go to church anymore, but God knows. You know, I serve God in my house, you know. I don't give my tithe to God. No, me, tithe. No, I look for somebody who has a need, and I send it to that person. Yeah. And the person is already going through turmoils. This is the person that they press in the night. He won't tell anybody. The president. Like you're already gone. Demons press you in the night. Any small thing, you are depressed. From one therapy to another therapy, you cannot even deal with. So even if you saw how little those demons are, that are troubling you, you will know that you are a fool. That you can't speak this high, and small demons trouble you. Very soon you are sad, you are crying, you don't know why. You are just crying. You just see yourself crying every 3 o'clock. You just cry. You just say you are in a something mood. They create a word for it for you. You have a word for it. Those are the sicknesses of those people. I'm telling you, they are listening to me. That's their sickness. Because they are close to demons. So they feel demonic feelings. They go through depression every now and then. You either choose one, evangelism or depression. Come to church early or you are unable to wake up at night because a demon still needs to spend time with you. You choose one. Yeah. And cast the unprofitable servant into the uttermost darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory. You know, this is what I'm saying. It's very important, friends. Don't play with Satan, no. You have to be faithful. I'll tell you the truth. You have to be faithful. You have to be faithful. You must be found serving the Lord. You must be found serving the Lord. It's not one of those things. It's primary. You must be found serving the Lord. You must be a child of God in the house of God. It isolates you and insulates you from demonic oppression. Yeah. You must get the uniform of a local assembly so that Satan will know you are not in a school. Yeah. Yeah. If you wear Satan's uniform, you will go to assembly ground every day. Yeah. You must be committed serving the Lord with your life, with everything. And don't think you are doing anyone a favor. You must wear the heart of a servant. Faithful servant of the Lord. No matter who you are. No matter who you will become. Because in fact, that is how you will become. Serve the Lord. You serve the Lord. Train your children to serve the Lord. Give your children money as offering. I say it's for God. Train your children. Let your children know there's a God that we must all commit our heart to. And the physical thing that connects you to God is His church. This is what connects you to God. You have to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. No matter where you, no matter what is going on with your life, whether you have, you don't have, whether you are going through anything, you must serve the Lord. Not because you are a pastor, you must serve the Lord. There must be a time your whole family wakes up. You must lead it. Your family wakes up at a time. There's a time the whole house goes to church, serving the Lord. Your church is going for missions. You must be part of it. And it must be the most important thing going on in your life. Yes. It's how to live in this dark world. Don't receive this civilization that will make you feel there are things better than God's church. Don't receive that kind of civilization. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then I will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will gather before Him. He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you see, and you gave me food. See, I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. You gave me food, you gave me drink, and when I was a stranger, you took me in." That is to say, the person you gave the food was not a stranger. The person you gave the drink was not a stranger, because the third person is this stranger. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a reason I said that. All right? I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer saying, "Lord." Can you see something consistent in their language? They always call Him what? Lord. When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these My brethren." So it means it's talking about how we treat fellow believers. Where are they? In church. So you're not going to find them everywhere. It's well, so it's not talking philanthropy. It's talking about church. It's not talking about IDP camp. It's talking about church. You did it to the least of My brethren. So you know how I know there's revival? When there is high level of welfare amongst ourselves. When you go to a place and the people really take care of themselves, then God is in their midst. These are the very words of Jesus. When we're able to really see our needs, and instead of bringing criticism and judgment, we bring succor. then Jesus is in that place. Inasmuch as you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. You see, don't forget that he said he's going to separate the sheep from the goats like a shepherd does. So it means in the last day we're going to have a true church and a false church. But it will be both church. So it means there's a huge percentage of church going to darkness. Scripture I'm teaching here. There's a huge percentage of the church that is going to utmost darkness because it's the false church. And it's giving us the litmus test of the true church. The true church will have a crazy love for one another and care for themselves and make sure that there is no lack in their midst. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick in the prison, you did not visit me. Then they will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer and say, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And this will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Friends, are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Are you seeing the premise upon which our Father is going to check whether we are his or not his? This corroborates what we see in John chapter 17. He said, by this shall men know that you are my disciples, when ye love one another. You see, so the talents that leads to that we should use for increase, one of the ways it will manifest is love for one another, having serious and genuine care for one another. So he that is hungry, our response should not be, why are you lazy? He that is sick, our response should not be, don't you have faith? He that does not have clothes, our response should not be, I saw the thing was last week, show any sense ni. That's not how we respond to our brothers. We must watch out for our brothers and make sure that we take good care of everyone. And it's not going to be legislated from the pulpit. It will be legislated from your soul. It will be the Jesus in your soul leading you in that direction. You will just know who is your responsibility without anybody telling you that person's responsibility. And you will do it faithfully as a servant. So it means that you don't even count yourself superior for doing it. Yeah. You are not superior to the person you are giving clothes to. Yeah. Because you are giving clothes to Jesus. Yeah. So if we are not watching out for ourselves, we are not doing this. We are not serving God. This was the same thing that was said where they said, when he told them, depart from me, workers of iniquity. You know, they were saying that we did miracles in your name. We did your name. Miracles will not be how God will separate the true church and the false church. The true church and the false church are going to be separated by not love from pulpit. Because false prophets can propagate. That's why, you see, that's why false prophets use welfareism. Because they have seen that that's the way. But that one, the false one, the only person who is a philanthropy is the man of God. That's to let you know the Spirit of Christ is not in the midst of the people. When the true one come, it won't be the man of God putting people putting placard on their chest and saying, just give me 50,000. It just give me 500. No. It will be going on organically in the community. And you will know that whoever you are doing it for, you know that it's Jesus that you are doing it to. And so you do with utmost humility, gratitude, and you count as a privilege. Friends, this is the church Jesus is working hard to get. It's not a church that is premised on just gifts. It's premised on our love for one another. Father, we bless you. We give you the praise tonight. What we have we have not really seen what God wants us to see as a church. I'm talking generally as a church. We are still seeing what the gift of men can do. We have not yet seen what the presence of God can do. I'm telling you. If we follow this word of the Lord, we are going to see what we have never seen before. Our garden will be like, see if you are in heaven. Yes. Just by teaching this, just by teaching it, see the purity of the worship. Just by teaching it. We are still trying to be great men of God. We are not getting the point. If we can set the house the way God wants it to be set, and God himself visits the house on a regular basis, again, we will come to services again, and hands will shoot out. We will scream. Every one of us will scream. I tell you, we are going to see transformations, 100% lives transformed without small tragedy. Yeah. While we're worshiping God, the Lord told me, if you guys don't love yourselves, you can't worship me. He says, the true worship will burst out from heaven when our love for one another has been fixed. Where there is no need for performance and there is no need to appear to be something before your brother. And I pray that God will help us. Amen. You know, let's be tired of what man can do. And let's see God. Me, I'm tired. Me, I'm tired. I'm not in need of repetition from men or let them think I'm a good preacher. I'm not a good preacher. The way I preach is the way I talk when you come to my house. The way I'm talking to you is how I'll talk to you when I get to, when we go to the office. This is me. I don't want to be in any roster of great preachers. I don't care about all of that. But I want to be in the midst of a people that God loves to be in their midst. That's my dream. The Lord will help us.
Amen.